particularly welcome you are to be here. How glad we are that you are with us. And I'd like to invite everyone's attention, if I may, to the connection card that was handed to you inside of your bulletin this morning. Please take a moment and fill that out. It's a useful tool for us here, very helpful to us in carrying out our ministry. And so if you would take the time to fill it out, we would appreciate it. As much information as you feel comfortable giving would be great. But it helps us to get connected and stay connected. You know, there's always a lot going on here at Trinity, and so I just wanted to offer you a reminder this morning to please read your bulletin. There's a lot of great information in here. Go on our website. There's always something to do, something that you can plug into to be part of our community here to help you grow in your faith. And there's a lot going on Monday to Saturday, too, not just Sunday. So please take a moment to read your bulletin this morning. We have a tradition, and we hope that everyone comes to feel this way about our church, but I say to you this morning, welcome home. Would you take a moment now and greet one another in the love of Christ and say good morning to someone you don't know?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn.
Gathered here this morning in your presence. And we pray, O God, that by having been here this morning, shoulder to shoulder with one another, that you take this opportunity while we are gathered to transform us, to change our hearts and lives, so that we might more fully love you and fully love our neighbor. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
to bring forth the city of God, to bring forth justice and mercy and love. We also pray for that. And each week as we gather and offer our prayers to God, we are seeking the kingdom of God. This morning you'll see some names on the screen, and I invite you to remember those folks in your prayers. Those are a part, people who are a part of the Trinity congregation who need our prayers. And of course, we also pray for our own families, our community, our nation, and our world. So I invite you to bow your heads with me as we spend a few moments in silent prayer before I lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, it's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, and we gathered this morning to worship you. Some of us come here with enthusiasm and anticipation, some with reluctance. Some come with joy, some with sadness, and others are full of fear. And yet we know you receive us as we are, and guide us to be more as you intend us to be. God of love, we are a people who long to be loving, and a people who often fall. Forgive us when our actions hurt ourselves and others. Forgive us when we do not choose our words with care, and then hurt our family, friends, or neighbors. Teach us what it means to truly be a good neighbor, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This morning we lift our prayers to you for our community and for our neighbors, for those who are sick and healing, for those who are hungry or homeless or in need. May we surround them with love and support. For those who are lonely or struggle with anxiety or depression, may they know the strength of your embrace. For those who mourn, bring comfort. For those who celebrate new life, may they be filled with joy and anticipation. To all, O God, grant your peace. Touch us with your power and send us back into this community and into our neighborhoods, renewed and eager to do your will with simple acts of love and kindness. Give us patience. Show us your way so that we may walk in paths of goodness, truth, and light. Through your Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. This morning our mission box is for Trinity's Faith Mission. I say that because Trinity has a ministry on the east side of town with both a location and a wonderful person, director of Faith Mission, who is a part of the Trinity staff, Ward Simonson. And once a quarter, we receive an offering from the mission box for that ministry. this morning as you take a look at the video. I hope that you will be as inspired as I was when you hear the voices of those who are being touched by this ministry. Take a look.
Good morning. Trinity's ministry at Faith Mission is our mission box to know. Faith Mission supports children and youth in wonderful ways. Let's hear from kids share about the programs they are in.
Well, my mentor, he inspired me to do what I wanted to be, like a football player. He inspired me to do that.
Well, the thing I like about my mentor is that I can, like, talk to her, and I can depend on her, and I can talk to her about things that I can't really talk to nobody else about.
If you have a mentor, you can depend on them, and they'll push you forward.
She makes me feel good about myself because she inspired me to do great things, and she told me about her childhood, and it kind of connected to mine, so I get to talk to her about things like that.
When I first started, I started with work, and work a lot, and then get paid. But now I think it's more to it than that. You work, read, learn, and have fun at the same time.
You learn life lessons. You meet up with new people. Everybody shares an experience that's kind of similar.
Well, at LOL, I've learned carpentry, and I've learned like to become a better man and get my own shit.
The book, Seven Habits, and How to Get Successful Teens, it'll help me, like, you know, just stay on task and, like, not goof around the school. And it just showed me how important it is and how much it means to life.
My thoughts of LF is, like, really fun and inspiring because I get to, everybody here at LF believes in me that I can do great things when I grow up, or I can do great things.
Girl Scout makes me feel great. I can be myself at Girl Scout. I love the coffee and I feel lost. Girl Scout helped me with helping me get ready for third grade. What I like about the volunteers and tutors are they're very helpful and encouraging.
What's your favorite thing about your tutors?
That they make me happy.
Do they do anything specific to make you happy?
Yes.
Like what?
Like reading books to me, playing games with me, and helping me do my own.
Kids can't make me feel happy.
Our goal this year for renovations at Faith Mission is $25,000. Through special giving and your generosity, we have achieved almost half of our goal so far. Thank you very much for your continued support. There are a variety of ways that you can be involved with Discount, Smile, and LOS. Please visit the Faith Mission Volunteer Opportunities page at the Trinity website to learn more.
That you all will pray about whether God might be leading you to be involved in Faith Mission with those kids of a variety of ages in Kids Count, that Kids Smile mentoring, or through the Leaders Overcoming Faith youth group there. You see that we're having a tremendous impact. And the mission box this morning goes towards supporting the facilities there. And, of course, in order to be able to engage in the ministry, those facilities are a vital part of that. You also noticed that one of the LOS boys talked about learning carpentry skills among all of the other life skills that they learned. That's one of the skills that they're gaining there. And this morning after worship, you'll see some of their pieces out underneath the oak tree, a couple of coffee tables and a picnic table. And so be sure and stop by there and do the silent auction. If you'd like to take one home with you. As we continue worship this morning, we have the opportunity each Sunday to offer to God our tithes and offerings, which support a variety of the ministries that Trinity offers, both that serve the congregation and the community and even across the world. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Mighty and everlasting God, you willingly equip us with the love, the insight, and the resources to meet every challenge in our community. Make us bold to live as Christ's disciples when it may seem like foolishness to many. May the gifts we offer, the lives we live for you, the witness we make for you, be a testimony to the love that led Christ to the cross, his precious life given for each of us. And as we worship this morning, may our living bear witness to your giving. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Put a little pep in your step this morning. I want to share a quick word that we just became aware of this morning. You saw the names of some folks we praying for a few moments ago. Last night, Alan Shepherd, who had been ill for quite some time and had recently gone under hospice care, passed away. And so if you would remember Alan's family, as well as continuing to hold the care of his family in prayer yesterday. Celebration of his life here in the worship center following his death. So thanks for that. This morning we come to the third and final week in our message series that has given us a chance to look at what it means to practice the art of neighboring, that call to love neighbor as an expression of loving God. We've had the sweater and the shoes and the chair up here as a reminder of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, a sign from a time gone by of neighborly love and commitment. And today, as we come to the conclusion, I'll be reading a passage that likely will sound familiar, although I'm going to read it in the Message version today, which may not sound quite like you've heard it before, but it allows us to perhaps hear it with fresh ears. This comes from the 5th chapter of Matthew. Feel free to follow along on the screens as I read it for you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses... Actually, that's not it, so I'm going to read from what I have here in front of me, because that's the CEB. Let me read it to you from the Message version this morning. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Salt and light. Jesus uses these two metaphors in today's scripture passage to describe what is to be the character of our witness as his followers. You know, both salt and light have a sensory dimension to them. Salt enhances taste. Light enables us to see. You can tell when salt and light are present. Now, the context for this reading from this morning is in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, that place where we find in compilation form some of Jesus' most significant and important instructions from his ministry. And so there in that Gospel, in that sermon, he is talking to a crowd that is familiar already with this notion of being light. You see, many of his hearers, if not all of them, would have been people who considered them to be a part of the people of Israel, God's chosen ones, and they would have heard echoes as they were listening to Jesus speak that come from Isaiah. In both chapter 42 and 49 of Isaiah, we hear that God's people are to be a light to all the nations. And so the image of light would not have been a new one to them. And what they would have realized, perhaps, is that Jesus in that moment was simply calling them to be who they are meant to be in the world around them. You know, being a good neighbor is a tangible way for us, as Christ followers, to be who we are meant to be in the world. This is the idea that we have been looking at over the last couple of weeks. To be salt and light in the world is to offer ourselves in such a way that our lives might have impact, that they might be recognizable in some way that points people toward Jesus. Our lives and our witness, it is clear from this passage, from Jesus' instructions here in the Sermon on the Mount, should be noticeable. Last week, Catherine mentioned something that you've heard us mention from time to time about this idea of living the questionable life. Living in such a way that someone, upon viewing over time your life, might want to ask a question about what it is that makes you behave the way that you do, opening up a door for you to share your faith. Our behavior should provoke curiosity. After all, the alternative is for others to see nothing different in our lives because we are Christ followers. And that doesn't sound very promising, does it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes that to flee into invisibility is to deny the call of discipleship. Any community of Jesus which wants to be invisible is no longer a community that follows Him. Our lives are meant to be noticeable. Our witness, both individually and collective, is meant to shine. And sometimes invisibility can have more damaging consequences than others. We realize this when we remember that Bonhoeffer was writing to a people in Germany at the time of World War II, when many, including those in the church, were turning a blind eye to the horrible and horrific practices of the Third Reich. Flee into invisibility, indeed, is to deny the call of discipleship. The character of our lives should cause others in the neighborhood to take notice. You know, when I think about lives being salt and light and being lived out in such a way that people notice and people respond to the goodness that can come out of that. One person that came to mind for me this past week is Mike Smith. Many of you know Mike. Mike attends the 11 o'clock service usually. I first met Mike more than 30 years ago when I came to Trinity for the first time when Catherine and I were dating in college. And even back then, I will not forget the first time I met Mike because he made such an impression on me with the way he approached me and was kind and warm and loving. You can often find Mike on Sundays now, before and after the 11 o'clock service, standing out at those doors greeting people. And if you haven't noticed him there, perhaps you've noticed him at Publix, and he's the same way at Publix, greeting folks and shaking hands and saying hello and engaging in conversation. There's just something about Mike's way of being that lets you know that there's something different about him. And I've got to believe that at the core it goes back to his faith and him shining a light through the way in which he interacts with others. The character of our lives should cause others around us, others in our neighborhood, to take notice. Now, having said that, it's important that we remember what else this passage says in the fifth chapter of Matthew, that our lives are noticeable, but not for our own sake. Jesus' choice of metaphor is significant here. You know, the benefit of salt and light is always for something else, never for itself. Have you noticed that? Salt is meant to enhance the flavors of other items. Light is meant to enable or enhance sight. Salt that draws attention to itself has been overused. It masks the flavors that it was intended to enhance. Light that draws attention to itself often hurts our eyes and keeps us from seeing what really matters. And so it's not surprising then that what we hear in Jesus' words about salt and light is that we should let our light shine in such a way that it points others to God so that God might be the one who receives the glory. So I have an invitation for you this morning. We want to invite you to be a part of Trinity, shining a little light into the lives of our neighbors. You know, there's a fence that borders our property, that on the other side of that fence is the grounds for Talbot Elementary School. And there are already some great neighborly relations between Trinity and Talbot. And we thought that with another school year beginning, our children's ministry team thought, wouldn't it be great if we did something to let them know that we care about them and that we are thinking about them and praying for them. And so as you leave this morning, if you didn't see it already on your way in, you're going to notice a table out front, out near the Welcome Center. And on that table are envelopes with blank cards and a name on each one of one of the staff members at Talbot. And we are inviting you to take one of those this morning as you leave and to write a note of appreciation and a note of encouragement to that person that's on the Talbot staff, so that they just might know as they begin this new year that the folks who are their neighbors, the people who are here as a part of Trinity, care about them and want to encourage them over the course of this new year. It's a simple act, but you know from times when you have received a note of encouragement or care or comfort, what a difference that makes, don't you? So just think about what that might do for a teacher this next week. It is not for our own sake that we are salt or light. It is for the sake of pointing others to the God who loves us all. Now, having said all of this, and as we move toward conclusion of this series about neighboring, it is important that I acknowledge something that we have all felt at one time or another. Good neighboring is not always easy, is it? Sometimes our neighbors can be challenging. Catherine talked about one example of that last week. And actually, truth be told, sometimes our neighbors probably think that we can be challenging, right? So that's a two-way street there. So a couple of things for us to remember. One is that being salt and light are not dependent on our neighbors' good behavior. We don't decide to be salt and light because our neighbors are nice and so we will be nice as well. We are salt and light because of who God has called us to be, regardless of how our neighbors behave or respond. Just look at the context in Matthew 5 of the instruction that we get today from Jesus. Right before this is where we read the Beatitudes. And the last Beatitude, do you remember it? It says, "Blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of terrible things about you." And then right after that, Jesus goes into this passage. You are the salt of the earth. You are meant to be salty. You are meant to make a difference. In her book, Grounded, Finding God in the World, Diana Butler Bass refers to a story from her childhood that she calls the Great Tree Slaughter. She and her family lived next door to her aunt and uncle and family, who lived next door to another neighbor. And one day they woke up to all kinds of commotion, and she and other family members and neighbors walked outside to see their cousin up in their neighbor's tree butchering limbs off of that tree, specifically the ones that hung over the uncle's driveway. Apparently the uncle had told the cousin, his son, to go out and do something about it, and so the cousin had begun to cut the neighbor's tree limbs down. You see, the issue was that this was a fruit-bearing tree, and the uncle, Diana's uncle, had gotten tired of that fruit splatting in the driveway and staining it year after year. And so they just decided they would take matters into their own hand and cut that part of the tree off. Well, as you can imagine, a terrible argument ensued, and a relationship that once had been great was tattered. And one of the fallouts of that incident was that the neighbor stopped making pies, not only for the aunt and the uncle, but for everyone in the neighborhood, because they just got fed up. Now, Diana tells the story because she remembers that her mother used it as an opportunity to talk to her about the idea of loving God and loving neighbor and the importance of treating your neighbor as you would want your neighbor to treat you. But as I read the story, I couldn't help but wonder if being salt and light is not dependent on the neighbor's good behavior, and clearly the uncle and family did not exhibit good behavior in that particular case. What would have happened if the neighbor had just kept right on providing pies for the neighborhood, including the aunt and uncle and the family who had done damage to his tree? I wonder over time what kind of an impact it would have had on them and on the rest of the neighborhood. Leads to another important aspect of recognizing that good neighboring will not always be easy, and that is that sometimes being a good neighbor will require practicing the art of forgiveness. In their book, The Art of Neighboring, the authors tell a story about Pete, who lived next door to a man who had a dog that barked incessantly. Nobody's ever had that, have you? Now, Pete got very frustrated with this, especially because he and his wife had a very young child. And it seemed like some of the times that the dog was barking the loudest was at those times when the infant was trying to sleep. And you know how exasperating that can be when you want your child to sleep and something is waking them up. So Pete and his wife thought about it for a long time, and finally he decided that he needed to do something, and he went over and he had a conversation with his neighbor, and the conversation did not go well. Neither one of them behaved perhaps very well in that particular instance, and they left at best agreeing to disagree, but nothing changed. Pete and his wife continued to be frustrated, and the man did nothing to temper the dog's barking. And so Pete kept harboring this ill will for his neighbor for a while until one day something changed for him and he decided that he was going to shift his thinking and his approach. It was a couple of months later and winter had come and the first snow had fallen and Pete went out to shovel his driveway, and while he was out he noticed that his neighbor had not had a chance to shovel his yet. And so he just made his way over to his neighbor's driveway and shoveled his as well. And in the book, they tell the story of how right as Pete was finishing that shoveling, a man came out the front door of the house that Pete didn't recognize. And he came over to Pete and he thanked him. And he said, "I so appreciate you doing this." And he shared with Pete that he was the brother of the man who lived there, and that his brother was going through cancer treatments and hadn't been able to take care of the driveway. And it meant so much that Pete had taken the opportunity to do it. The story goes that everything changed for Pete at that point. All of a sudden, the dog didn't seem to matter much at all because he realized that his neighbor had far more significant things going on and to worry about. And Pete and his neighbor over time became great friends and developed a relationship that was meaningful and enriching for them both. Good neighboring is not always easy. And some days you may be trying to practice being a good neighbor and feel like you are getting nowhere. And so what I would say to you this morning is, stay in the game. Stay in the game. There will be good days, and there will be some bad ones. Hopefully there are a lot more good days than bad ones, but they won't all be good. But don't give up. Don't lose heart. You are called to be salt and light. You know, Cal Ripken is one of the most famous Major League Baseball players of all time, specifically known for a streak of endurance, playing more consecutive baseball games as a professional than anybody else. More than 2,600 games in a row without missing one, to be exact. And in 1988, his seventh season of his streak, so by this time he had played about 1,000 games in a row, the Baltimore Orioles, the team that he played for, won 54 games and lost 107. That's a pretty pathetic year for a Major League Baseball team. So imagine if that year Cal Ripken had said, you know what, it's been a terrible year. Obviously, this doesn't matter. I think I'll just quit playing every game. Imagine what he would have missed out on in the years that followed when Baltimore had some much better seasons, because he kept on going. He stayed in the game. Stay in the game, my friends of good neighboring, no matter what your neighbor might be. Be consistent and be persistent in following the command of Jesus to love God and love your neighbor as an expression of it. And do not be insistent. Don't be insistent that your neighbor has to act a certain way or has to convert to your faith in order for you to continue loving them. And do not be resistant. Do not be resistant to loving them even when it feels like they are not loving you. You know, when it's all said and done, to be salt and light is to treat our neighbors and our neighborhoods as if they matter. They are one of the gifts that God has given us as a place to shine the light of God's love. Diana Butler Bass puts it this way: we might neglect or forget this, but the congregation of our lives with those nearby, what an interesting choice of words, the congregation, the gathering of our lives with those nearby is sacred. A human geography in a spiritual habitat. To remember and to reconnect with our neighbors and neighborhoods is a life-giving, sane, and humane way. You know, it really is a great day for a neighbor. Would you pray with me? Oh God, each day, may we open our eyes to those right around us, and may we give thanks for the ones who you have given us as neighbors. May we love them as you have loved us.
As we come to the table, Stephen spoke about staying in the game, and that is what this table is meant to help us do. He also spoke about forgiveness. And that's exactly what this table is meant to do, is to help us be able to embody forgiveness the way Christ offered us forgiveness. When we, in a moment, when I talk about the cup, it is the cup of the new covenant that enables our sins to be forgiven. And out of that, experiencing the gift of forgiveness ourselves, we are then able to offer others forgiveness. But how often do we come to this table feeling disconnected from our neighbor? Maybe even disconnected from some of the people that are in our home. And we know that we need to forgive, and it just seems beyond us. That's the beauty of this table.
again and again and again, Christ says, come and open your hands, open your heart, and I will give you what you need to be able to do the things that I call you to do. One of those being able to forgive those who have hurt you. And to do so in a way that enables you to allow your salt to be re-engaged and your light to be re-lit. So that as we leave here, we leave as the people we were created to be. Strengthened in Christ. To be good neighbors to those who live around us and everyone else who needs help. And so Christ took bread and he gave thanks to the Father. Broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Father and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Almighty God, who has forgiven us of so much and brought new life where there has once been life, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this bread. And on this juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ that makes us redeemed as Christ's body in the world. By your Spirit, make us one with you and one in ministry to all until you come again in final victory and we feast together. Lord, we need you. We need you to fill us and to heal us. To give us eyes to see others the way that you see them. And help us, Lord, to be the salt and the light you created us to be. So as we come today, Lord, fill us where we need it the most. And help us carry that truth out into the world with courage and boldness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll invite those who are going to help us serve communion to go ahead and come forward now. I'll share with you that in the United Methodist Church, and especially here at Trinity, you do not need to be a member of our congregation in order to participate in Holy Communion. You simply need to respond to the Holy Spirit at work in your life and come as you are to receive the gift of God's grace. As you do, we'll begin with the front rows in each section, and you can exit towards the left, and you can come forward. If you'll hold your hands out, we'll place a piece of bread into your hands, and then you can take that and dip it into the cup and eat it. You're welcome to come and kneel and pray, or you can return by the right side of your section. If you need gluten-free, we have that. Just let us know it's on either side. We'll be happy to serve you. Come. Come and receive all that you need from Christ.
The Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, thy hand will save.
God, we have come and we have tasted and seen that you are good. So allow your Holy Spirit to continue to work within us and help us stay in the game. Help us to be salt and light that makes a difference in the world around us and to love our neighbors well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand?
Grand conductor, hands poised in silence and darkness, telling instruments when to ascend their notes with one brush of his hand. Stars and sun and moon draw their bows across strings and fire up the skies with light. Water rushes percussive, surging and beating its timbre. God's light has a way of changing nothing into something. This earth we know started off void, nothingness, and so God said, let there be light, and there was light and life and breath, shards of brightness, interrupted earth's nothingness until earth was never the same again. Our lives started off void. Until God said, let there be light, we were blind with no sight for love or peace, but this is no surprise. Since the beginning, humanity has been hiding, using shadow and cloth and figs to cover mistakes, imperfection, sin. But you, God, never hide, because you have nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hide from. No matter how hard we try, we cannot hide from you. So you sent your son, who carried heaven's brightness around his shoulders, a redeemer to rescue the captives, to save the prisoners from themselves, and your light pierced our eyes, cut through our soul. We could barely lay our sights on him who paid our ransom. Him who is the embodiment of light and salvation, the Son of God, came to shine, that our eyes might focus on the one who sent him, that he may search and know us, that our hearts may desire to follow him, that our lives may be open and laid bare before him, that we may follow the light of the world, walk in the light of the Lord, that we would be light to a dying world. God is still saying, let there be light, and his light still shines on hearts and souls, gives truth and hope. May the way we love shine his light. May how we spend our cents and seconds shine his light. May our hearts and minds shine his light. May our lives shine his light.
Three things as you go. summer out under the oak tree. Pick up a note card and put a smile on a teacher or a other staff member's face this week over at Talbot. And as you leave, our ushers have something to give you. You remember this image of the houses that we've been using throughout this series. Well, now you get a fridge magnet that you can put on your fridge at home to help you continue to remember names and get to know your neighbors so that you can practice good neighborhood. So go and let your light shine so that others may indeed see it. Why? So that they might come to know the love of God.